All right, welcome back, everybody. Again, this is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction. I'm Pastor Brent Kuhlman, and I'm also joined with Pastor Clint Poppy and Pastor Adam Moline. Those guys serve Good Shepherd in Lincoln, and I serve Trinity in Murdoch, Nebraska. It's great to be with you. Again, we're beginning a series of talks, Table Talks, on Lutheranism 101. We're going to go through the six chief parts of the Small Catechism. We've just started our discussion on the Ten Commandments, the first chief part that's in the Small Catechism. We've observed some scripture that the Ten Commandments are given for various reasons. One is to show us that we are sinners, Romans 3. And as Pastor Moline pointed out, that's very important because without knowing and confessing the truth that we are sinners, we don't need Jesus the Savior. We also observed in our previous segment that there's another use that God has with the Ten Commandments, and this is a guide or instruction, if you will. That is to say, Christians want to do what God says in His Word, and that includes the Ten Commandments. So, because we are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ, we want to live by faith toward God, first three commandments, and then we want to live towards other people in love. So, with our parents, we're going to honor them, and other authorities, we're going to honor them. We're going to protect and preserve life. We're going to make sure that we're faithful in our marriage, etc. That's how this works. Now, there's another use that God has, and I say that God has, and I say that on purpose, so that everybody understands this. They're not my uses of the law. They're not Pastor Poppy's uses of the law. These are the uses that God does. These are the things that He does to people, or I like to put it this way, His good use with His Ten Commandments. So, showing us our sin, the theological use, like a mirror, if you will, or a CAT scan or an X-ray, and then the third use, as a guide, we want to do what God's Word says. I reference Psalm 19. Now, there's another use, and we call this the civil use. And I'm looking at 1 Timothy, and I'm just going to read that real closely, and then I want you guys to comment. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's verse 8. Now, we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Now, when Paul says law here, he means Ten Commandments. Understanding this, that the law, that is to say the Ten Commandments, is not laid down for the just. That means the people who, like, for example, if the speed limit's 75 and you're doing 75, the patrolman's not going to pull you over. He'll leave you alone. If you don't take a gun and shoot people in the head, you're not going to be arrested and go to jail. That's what Paul means. So I repeat, if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just. That is, to say, if you honor your parents, if you're faithful in your marriage, generally speaking, life's going to go pretty well for you. Okay, but it's rather for the lawless, the disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality. Don't let that leak out, fellas, or they're going to shut you down. You know, the FCC is going to shut you down for saying that. Anyway, that's an inside joke. Enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, Clint, say more about this, would you please?
Yeah, this is oftentimes referred to as the first use of the law, and I was kind of surprised that we started with the second, but I mean, as good Lutherans, that's where we start. The first use of the law is the universal use of the law, the civil use of the law. It is sometimes described as a curb, and you have a curb on the side of a street, and you know yourself that if you're playing on your cell phone or putting on your makeup, or if
he's not talking about
reading the newspaper, that's what I've seen. That's
if big glob of mayonnaise from your Big Mac falls on your shirt, and you take your eyes off the road, and you hit the curb, what happens? You get shocked and rocked right back into your lane. If you're going so out of control that you hit the curb, you might get a flat tire and you break the rim. You stop right there. If you're on a bicycle, you might go flying into a heap in the ditch, but it keeps you from driving into a semi. And so this curbs gross outbreaks of sin. It is to curb chaos, lawlessness, anarchy, among us. And this is why we have the law. This is the first use of the law. This is universal. It is for all people, for all time. And without this first use of the law, it would be very, very difficult to live our lives in any kind of normalcy or any kind of peace.
All right. So, Pastor Moline, would it be correct to say then that this, with this first use, God is taking care of people? Would that be correct?
It is in a way, you know. So back to our fifth commandment there, with murder, God's using that first use to to keep people from murdering other people, to have that law that says it's wrong to murder and that you ought not do that. And I don't know. You know, if you murder someone, you're going to go to jail.
And in that way, he is protecting me from a murderer potentially like you. And so when we have promises that are associated with the law, like the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. One of the reasons why he can give this promise is when we have a world of order. Because our God is a God of order. He is protecting us and caring for us so that we don't live in anarchy, we don't live in chaos, but we live peaceful lives, and because of that, we'll live longer lives.
And connected with that would be like the fourth commandment. You have different kinds of authority. You have parental authority, and you have civic or civil authority. And so back to the fifth commandment, there, you know, you said if you murder, you're going to go to jail. Well,
you have your conscience, too, that tells you that this is probably not a good thing to do.
That's
where God has written that law onto your heart. This is the when you break the lamp in your living room when you're a kid playing football with your brothers, you have that feeling in the pit of your stomach that mom and dad are not going to be happy when they get home. That conscience that says this was dumb, you shouldn't have done this. That's part of that use being used, God using that in your heart.
Okay, so we've observed that Luther puts the Ten Commandments first in the six chief parts in the Small Catechism. And we've observed why he does that. Number one, as we've just discussed, there's a civil use of the Ten Commandments. And that's expressed in the fourth commandment in particular. There's a theological use, which all the commandments do. They show us that we are sinners who desperately need a savior. And then the third use from like Psalm 51, etc. We as Christians want to do what is God-pleasing. And so those are the three uses. Now, Clint, you've mentioned this to me before, so I'm going to throw this at you. You know, why is it important? Let's talk about this some more. Why it's so important that Luther puts the Ten Commandments first? Because I remember, like you, we're old men. You know, we're about ready for the nursing home. You know, you came in with your walker, I think, and you're popping all these pills all the time. I'm kind of worried about you. You know,
yeah. Back in the olden
put your
days.
Teeth back in your mouth, Clint. But yeah, when we were young or young men, in the church there was this reordering of the chief parts. Can you talk about that?
I remember this distinctly because back in the mid-80s or so, and I don't know if that's when CPH published it or if in our little parochial school in West Point, if we finally could afford it.
And there were self-publications that did what you're about to say.
And there were self-publications as well. But this was even authorized by the church. Concordia Publishing House had a curriculum both for day school and for midweek classes that reordered the six chief parts and did not start with the chief parts as we generally learned them, with the Ten Commandments, then the Apostles' Creed, and then the Lord's Prayer, the promises that are made by baptismal sponsors and parents. That is the general order, and this is the way it's been in the church for a long time.
Back to the Reformation,
absolutely. Yeah. But in the 70s and mid-80s, there was a reordering, and so in conjunction with the publishing of Lutheran Worship, the new hymnal, Lutheran Book of Worship, this ecumenical movement that was moving through the country, there was a reordering so that the first of the six chief parts that you studied was not the Ten Commandments, but was holy baptism. Baptismal identity, which is very good, which is very positive, which is very important for us, our identity with Christ in the baptismal waters, was put first. and the Ten Commandments were relegated to second-class citizenship. And I've observed this, and I've noticed this with self-publication now, where pastors get bored with the order of the six chief parts and want to be creative. And we've had this discussion. So, Pastor, what's the problem? What's the problem here? Why is this a bad thing?
Well, I suspect that this happened because the dates that you mentioned, and it even goes back further, it goes back to the 60s and the 70s, where there's a denial of calling people sinners categorically. That's just not friendly. You're not going to grow a church if you actually preach the law the way God intended it to be, namely to kill, 2 Corinthians and other passages. And another reason I think why they did this, well-intended, but it's a lack of theological integrity and maybe even knowledge. The acumen had gone away, namely the denial of the third use of the law as well. And so there was really no need for the law at all. But ironically, however, they became very nomian or law people. But Adam, you're shaking your head. You want to say something about this?
Well, even if you started with baptism, which I think is out of order, you can't do so without also knowing the fourth part of baptism that indicates the old Adam in us should by daily contrition die and be drowned in the waters of baptism. What is that old Adam? That you have to go to the law first to know who that is, to know that's the one that is in sin, that is against God. And so you can't really begin with baptism because there's terms you haven't defined yet.
Right. And I'll push this one more way, and hopefully it'll be coherent and cogent. You know, when the old man talks about these things, sometimes they're not very cogent, so I'll do my best. There's a reason why Luther does this. You have Ten Commandments and the Creed. There's law and gospel, and they're to be properly distinguished. See, this is what Luther's driving at, and this is what gets lost, I would contend, when you shift the chief parts. Namely, you no longer properly distinguish between the law and the gospel. We observe that from Romans that the law doesn't save, and we could quote tons of passages. Just do your concordance study, folks. The Ten Commandments don't save anybody before God. And so properly distinguishing, you've got to use the law properly, showing you your sin, and then the creed follows, which shows us who God is and what he's done for us. And in particular, for the sake of our discussion now, he has redeemed sinners through his son, Jesus Christ. Or he has redeemed his fallen creatures and sanctified them, third article talk. And the reason why this is so important for Luther is to teach what the Bible also says, is so that sinners will be justified how? By faith alone in Jesus Christ, and then live by faith, as Paul says in Romans 1 and in his letter to the Galatians. So I hope that makes sense. I'm going to say it one more time. The reason why Luther does Ten Commandments and Creed next is that everybody will live by faith alone, and that is properly distinguishing the law and the gospel.
If we don't start with the Ten Commandments, God's law can become symbolic.
Or an instrument of salvation itself.
This is the dilemma.
And then you're not saved by faith alone. See, that's what's going on here, in my opinion.
And what's law? And the law is studied to extol Christ and his work, how he has fulfilled the law for us and paid the penalty for our breaking of the law. The law isn't our friend. The law isn't our buddy. The law must kill us. And that is what we all avoid. No one wants to be killed. No one wants to embrace the death.
This is the Lutheran difference. As we come to the end of our segment here, this is the Lutheran difference. This is why Lutheranism makes a difference in the world. God created Lutherans for a reason, folks. I mean that. He created Lutherans for a reason. It's so that we will teach the church that sinners are justified only by faith in Jesus Christ. And you can only do that when you properly distinguish between the law and the gospel. Check that out, folks. People who don't talk like this, properly distinguishing justification by faith alone, gets lost. Well, folks, stay Lutheran. We'll talk to you again.